This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's going on, y'all? Good morning on this day, Monday, December 2nd. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on. It's your man, James Jackson. Thank you for starting your day with me, starting your week with me, starting your December with me. December 2nd, this Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, coming off of Thanksgiving week and Black Friday weekend. So first and foremost, I hope everybody enjoyed their Thanksgiving holiday with their families. Hope you ate a bunch of good food, watched a lot of good football, and enjoyed that time with your loved ones. I know it's been a little bit, a couple of days since we've done a morning pod, a daily pod. I hesitated to say daily because we've missed a couple of days, especially with the holiday, with the holidays last week, but I'm back in the saddle. I'm back on top of things. We will be here every day moving forward. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for myself, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast. Between me, myself, Elliot, and Jack, we will be giving you all the content you need to know. So make sure you are keeping it locked. Okay. Time to set the week as we do with these morning pods on Mondays, right? Busy week for the Sixers. Four games this week for the squad. They go to Charlotte tonight, or tomorrow, I should say, to take on the Hornets at 7 p.m. for the final NBA Cup group stage game. But it is a meaningless NBA Cup game for the Sixers and for the Hornets. Going into Friday, the Sixers were going to be officially eliminated from the knockout stage of the NBA Cup if the Magic, Hawks, or Pistons won, and all three of those teams won this past weekend. So the Sixers were eliminated, so this will not be, this doesn't have any extra weight to it other than just being a normal regular season game for the Sixers. They spin around and play the Magic at home on Wednesday at 7:30, and then play the Magic on Friday at 7 p.m. So they have a back-to-back with the Hornets and the Magic Tuesday and Wednesday, and then have a home-and-home with the Magic Wednesday and Friday. And then they finish out the week on Sunday in Chicago playing the Bulls at 1 p.m. Tuesday at the Hornets, Wednesday at home versus the Magic, Friday away at the Magic, and then Sunday against the Bulls at 1 p.m. The Eagles do play the Panthers at 1 p.m., so people are going to have to make a pretty big decision on who they want to watch the, you know, tantalizing and fascinating Sixers or the 10-2 Eagles? You make your choice. I know who I'm going to be watching. 10-9, eat me all the way. Let's go to some scores around the league. We'll do NBA Cup edition of these scores for teams who are in the East Group A with the Sixers to see, you know, who's going to be moving on to represent that group in the knockout stages. So the Magic defeat the Nets to remain the top of that East Group A. All five Magic starters were in double figures, led by Franz Wagner, who had 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. Your boy Ben Simmons played 12 minutes, took one field goal attempt, and scored 0 points. So kind of the typical average run for Ben Simmons this day and age. A little bit more on Ben Simmons, just a little bit in this pod. The Cavs ended the Celtics 7-game win streak to maintain the best record in the NBA. It was a duel down the stretch between Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum, with Mitchell's team obviously coming out on top. Spider had 35 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. Jason Tatum had 33 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists himself. The Cavs still only have one home loss this season, actually coming from the Atlanta Hawks earlier last week. So the Cavs and the Magic will be the two teams to represent the East Group A and the knockout stages of the NBA Cup. The Sixers, Hornets, and Nets were all eliminated. So those two have their eyes set on Vegas for the final stages of the tournament for the championship rounds. But for now, the knockout stages are right around the corner for us, the final NBA Cup stage game. And we will see how the Magic and the Cavs do in those knockout stages. But yes, they are the two teams moving on from East Group A for the NBA Cup. Let's move on to some injury updates that we have, because we have another one that goes down. If you are watching that Pistons game on Saturday, you saw that Andre Drummond is probably going to miss an extended period of time with a right ankle sprain. Just 4 minutes into Saturday's game, Andre landed awkwardly on a Pistons player's foot and went down immediately. He had to be helped off the court by Justin Edwards and Ricky Council. So couldn't put any weight on that ankle right away after he went down. Nick Nurse did address Dre's situation in his post game on Saturday. He said that the x-rays that the team doctors did right after the game had the results show that it wasn't as bad as it initially looked on the floor. You could see Andre, you know, kind of in a lot of pain, kind of writhing and rolling around and a lot of pain when it happened. But the doctor said it's not as bad as it appeared. But Andre is a big guy. So when you come down on an ankle awkwardly like that, it's a lot of weight coming down. So we will see. But it is just a sprain, nothing more than that. Nurse also did add a statement that we were kind of all thinking when kind of evaluating Andre Drummond's injury and just, you know, going about it. He said this, quote, "It seems like it's every time we play, somebody goes down. But at least we got one back, right? One in, one out tonight, right? Breaking even tonight. So hopefully we can turn the tide and go on the positive here pretty soon." It's just what we're all thinking. It's the media thought that runs through all of our minds when we see Andre Drummond go down. Yes, it's great that it's Paul George's return. Yes, it's great that Joel Embiid, is the swelling is starting to go down in the knee, should return to the court anytime soon. But can we get a game where someone doesn't go out? Like, can we just get one game, right, where we don't have some kind of significant injury, so a guy doesn't tweak something and has to have to miss, you know, a game, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, can we have one of those? Because the frustration is starting to build. Like, it just seems, just like Nick Nurse said, every time we play, something goes down, or somebody, I should say, goes down. Andre Drummond being the latest. Caleb Martin has missed the last two games also with a back injury. He said he should be returning very soon. He says he feels better and better by the day. Kyle Lowry and Reggie Jackson have also missed some time. They missed a couple games last week. Look to rejoin the team as soon as possible, if not this week. But if they don't this week, then very soon. But injuries are not something the Sixers are straying away from, at least right now. They just hope to, you know, they just hope to get healthy as soon as possible. We move on to some general news before I take a break. A report came out middle of last week from Ramona Shelbourne that kind of made a couple of people, you know, side-eye, made a couple people turn their heads a little bit. Ben Simmons, of all people, told you I was going to have some more on the brother. Ben Simmons reportedly called Joel Embiid and other members of the Sixers this season, or this offseason, I should say, in the summertime to quote-unquote mend fences. Right? It's a report that hasn't picked up a lot of traction since it was dropped in the middle of last week, but Ramona Shelbourne of ESPN mentioned this in an article she wrote about the Sixers' slow start. It kind of threw this in there, right? Kind of sprinkled this in there like the salt bay. And this one little paragraph got picked up, obviously, by a lot of people. Some people were running with it. And just, you know, kind of interesting to hear where Ben Simmons' mind was this past season. He does enter the final year. He is in the final year of his contract. This season will be an unrestricted free agent next summer. I'm not sure what thought processes he was going through, what kind of closure or clarity he was trying to gain from doing this. I will give Ben Simmons credit for kind of reaching out and trying to repair what seems to be burned bridges, whether it's just Joel Embiid or was other members, other teammates of the Sixers as well. I'll give him credit for doing that. I'm sure that's not easy. That shows a level of maturity. It might even show a level of remorse on his end of how things went down, about how he split from the Sixers. But after all that credit is given, I personally do think we should just all be moved on from the Ben Simmons situation, shouldn't we? Like, that doesn't that seem like it's counterproductive to go backwards, right? I hear what people are saying about how he can still affect the game with his passing, his defense, his basketball IQ, which I'm not here to argue, honestly. I'm really not here to break down what Ben Simmons can really do on the court. Because of everything that has gone down with Ben Simmons and the Sixers, why would we look in the past, look for people that we've, teammates we've already had to solutions and not look to moving forward, right? If this situation has taught us anything from the Sixers, is that at some point, we need to kind of look forward, right? We need to move forward and look for what's next, right? Not go backwards and try to fix something that is perceived broken or it is broken, right? There's nothing for us in that Ben Simmons situation, especially waiting at the end of another season to sign him and bring him back. I'm sure there's some team in the NBA that's going to offer him the vet minimum next season. I just don't think it should be the Sixers, right? If the X wants to reach out and make sure that we're on good terms so that they can move on with their life in peace, sure. And that's good for them, and we will let them have that. That don't mean we need to go back into the toxicness ourselves. Some good relationship advice for y'all out there too, right? Call me Dr. Jim. I'm going to take a break. On the other side of this break, I will be right back with my three takeaways from that Pistons game since it was over the weekend. A good win, a good decisive win for the Sixers, their best win of the season. So stay tuned for that. Welcome back, y'all. This is Monday, December 2nd for this Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update. I appreciate you starting your day and your week with me as we break down Sixers basketball. Look, the Sixers look to turn a corner in the season on Saturday. They got a big win, a landslide victory, their first of the season on Saturday. I'm here to break that down. Your man, James Jackson. Follow me on Twitter at JimmyJ23. Follow the podcast on Twitter as well at Clap Your Hands Pod. More content like this and much more coming on Twitter from those follows. So you should do that. My three takeaways for the win against the Pistons. It was a great one. It was a blowout victory. The Sixers needed it. We all feel just a little bit better that they did it. So here are my three takeaways, my biggest takeaways from that win. The first one is a second half Mad Max sighting, right? So you guys know when Tyrese Maxey does his big one and goes off, I call him Mad Max because that's the alter ego. That's the guy that takes over in ball games. Tyrese Maxey is the lovable 24-year-old that we all know that we drafted out of Kentucky in the late first round that fell to us at the 21st pick. Mad Max is a dude that goes on the court and at any point knows that he could be the best player on the floor in any given moment. Mad Max showed up in the second half against Detroit And I liked it. The overall stat line looked nice. 28 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. The reason why I say second half Mad Max is because the night didn't start out great at all. Actually, didn't start out well at all, to be honest. Maxey started just 3 for 12 from the field and looked just really off in the first half. He was missing layups, not in the flow of the offense. And he kind of looked to be focused more on arguing with the officials than he was of making sure that his shot was falling, that his teammates were getting going. Like, his focus was just not where it needed to be to start that game. And it was off, 3 for 12 from the field in the first half. And then something happened at halftime. A switch was flipped. Someone smacked him upside the head. Something happened at halftime where Maxey came out and he was aggressive. He was focused and just couldn't be stopped in that third quarter, right? Came out no longer going back and forth with the officials, now turning up on the court, scoring, getting his teammates involved, and the game just opened up for Maxey. Shot 6 of 9 in the third quarter alone, had 14 points of the Sixers 32 in the third. He scored 20 of his overall 28 in the second half, right? So that was great for me to see. Right, we're not always going to start off games hot. We're not always going to come out looking super efficient. Some nights we're going to be off. But especially as Paul George continues to come back from his knee injury, as Joel Embiid is in and out of the lineup, Maxey is, knock on wood, going to be the mainstay of this big three in the lineup. He cannot ever let a bad shooting start affect him, one, in the rest of the way, like rest of the areas of the game, which it started to do on Saturday, and he can't let himself stay down for the entire game, right? He got good help and good support, which I'll get to in a second, but 99% of the time, the offense is going to go with Maxey. The offense is going to go as Maxey goes, right? So if he's not starting hot, figure out other ways to impact the game and then get your shot back falling, which is what he did against Detroit. It was great to see that a poor start, didn't affect him, and he could come out and remind himself, like I said, that at any point he could be the best player on the floor. A second half Mad Max. It was great to see. The second thing, my second takeaway, I should say, from the win against the Detroit Pistons is the Young Bulls lending a helping hand. Isn't that great to see? So we were all around our families for Thanksgiving, and, we don't ever require the youngins to help. But when we see the youngins helping, when we see the Young Bulls lending a helping hand, we feel better about it. It makes us feel really good, happy. You know what I mean? We're proud of those Young Bulls. This is not our family's Thanksgiving deal. This team, this family needs its Young Bulls to step up, needs its young players to lend hands, and they did. The combination of Ricky Council and KJ Martin came up huge for the Sixers win in Detroit. I know KJ Martin maybe not be a Young Bull anymore, but he's Kenyon Martin's Young Bull, so he's our youngin' too, so it works out. But 19 for KJ Martin, 17 for Ricky Council, and each and every point was impactful. You could feel it. The Sixers needed their aid and their help in this victory. But more importantly than role players just helping out, bench role players helping out for the Sixers. It's huge, and it's something that I don't think they've gotten enough of this season. Just 19th in the NBA in bench scoring this season. So it's something that, is going to need to kind of fester, get up a little bit. Once they get back healthy, players will move kind of back down to the bench, and the bench will get, more support back. But even still, we can improve in our bench scoring. But it's clear that the Sixers are empowering their young players and their role players this season, almost saying that we're there leaning on them and they need them. While they deal with injuries right now, those guys have to be ready to play. Those guys have to be ready to be an impact and to really help on the floor. Paul George spoke about this idea after Saturday's win as well, just giving praise to KJ Martin, giving praise to Ricky Council. He said, quote, "We've been staying on our young guys, man. They got to shoot the ball. KJ was shot ready. He was aggressive. Ricky's been playing great down the stretch these past 2-3 games. He's been aggressive. He's been there. They've both been adding energy. That's what we need. We need energy. We need our young fellas. They played awesome tonight." So this isn't just a good on them for the night, right? There would be kind of a pat on the butt and a praise and an attaboy from KJ and Ricky if this was just, "Oh, happy you did it tonight," but this isn't what we need on a night-to-night basis moving forward. Not the case. Not the case. Should we expect 19 from KJ and 17 from Ricky every night? Absolutely not. We're smarter than that. But we should expect one of our two of our raw or bench players to have a significant impact on a nightly basis, right? That goes for Yabusele. That goes for Caleb Martin. That goes for Jared McCain, right? That goes for these younger guys who are going to see a flurry of 20 minutes at a spurt, you know, 18 minutes at a spurt, and they're going to have to make the most of those of that playing time. Great job for KJ Martin and Ricky Council. But now that I've seen you do it, I'm going to look for you to do it again. Last takeaway that I have for the win against the Detroit Pistons was PG's return, but not just his return in general, his return as a playmaker, as a facilitator. I think a lot of people were expecting Paul George to come back against the Pistons and hunt for a shot, look for a shot, kind of including me. And why would you not? It's the Pistons, right? Why would you not go out and work on your game, right? Let's be aggressive early against this team. The Pistons must have had that on their scouting report too, because Paul George saw a lot of attention Saturday night. But that gave him the ability to be a facilitator and a playmaker, like I said, which he did very well. He had 11 points, but also had 5 assists. That's more than he's averaged each of the past 2 seasons. He also had 8 rebounds, which is a good sign in his first game back that he was a willing rebounder. So you wonder how guys like KJ Martin, how guys like Ricky Council have the space to impact the game the way they do. You wonder how a guy like Tyrese Maxey is able to break through after a rough shooting start and able, you know, to have 20 second half points and stay in rhythm and find lanes even late in the game. It's because on defense, one eye is on these guys. One eye from everybody else is on Paul George, right? And I think he just made the most of having to command that amount of attention on the floor. He didn't look fantastic, especially moving, right? He didn't look seamless. He didn't look effortless and smooth moving out there, especially with that Inspector Gadget-sized brace on his left knee. I mean, I don't know who could move smoothly with a tree trunk sitting on your left knee like that. But, you know, you could see that knee brace was heavy. You could see that left knee was dragging just a little bit. I mean, him trying to explode off the floor, it just looked like he was wearing, you know, just wearing a weight on his left knee. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But to his credit, he didn't let that just make him a cone on offense, make him stand there and immovable on offense. He made the defense work. He made the defense command attention to him, and he used that ability to find his teammates, help his teammates get going, and then put in a double-digit effort on offense himself. So PG knew the attention he was going to get. He used it to his team's advantage against the other team, and I just love to see that. It was a good job by PG in his return. We know that returning from a bone bruise, he's not going to look great right away, but this return, I think, looked better than the last one. Those are my 3 takeaways from the Sixers' win against the Detroit Pistons. A second half Mad Max sighting. I'll take a Mad Max sighting anytime I get it. The Young Bulls helping out and lending to a victory, and PG's return. He was looking to get his teammates involved, and I like to see that. So good win from the Sixers, a decisive win. They needed that this season. We look to get it, keep it going on Wednesday as we go down to Charlotte and take on the Hornets. But we have one more day until then. So until tomorrow morning, I will see everybody in 24 hours.